Journey through Exodus. So we've seen so much already in this book. Tonight, I get to preach on the forbidden topic among independent Baptists, and that's giving. Well, something that the charismatics preach on too much, but it is scriptural that we give. And we have here from this chapter this example of Israel giving an offering unto the Lord. And we can learn much from it. So we're just going to look at selective verses because it's also intermingled with the building of the tabernacle, which we've already addressed, all the different aspects of the tabernacle and how they're types of Jesus Christ. So here in chapter 35, verses 4 and 5, we'll start there. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass. And then down to verse 21. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle, the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing hearted. And brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And then down to verse 29. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work, which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. And then over in chapter 36, beginning in verse 3. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. So a willing offering is our title tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We commit the service to you, and pray you'll stir our hearts through your word as we contemplate this beautiful truth about a willing offering. I pray that that would be a definition of our hearts. And I pray that, Lord, we would learn tonight things that would help us in our faithfulness to you. So thank you for the privilege. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we notice there in verse 5, God saying to the congregation, take ye from among you an offering to the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart. So this was a willing offering. You'll see this word willing over and over again. It was not a mandatory offering. It was a willing offering. It was basically, if you are willing to help provide the materials to build the sanctuary or the tabernacle, then bring what you can bring. It was a willing offering. But it was an offering, notice it says in verse 5, of the Lord. And this is what God wants from his children. We get the New Testament. He wants the same thing. He wants us to give willingly. Amen? And let's see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if we could, verses 1 to 3. Yes, we understand about the tithe, but God wants us to give because we want to give, because we are willing to give. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. So God here talking about the Macedonian churches as he's writing to the Corinthian church, and using them as an example of people that were willing to give. But they were willing to go. Notice it says, even though they had deep poverty, it says they had liberality. And that word liberality is talking about a willingness to give. And so they were willing, it says there in 2 Corinthians 8, of themselves to give to the work of the Lord. And so we see in the New Testament, God still wants it to be a willing offering. He wants us to give because we want to give, because we love Him. And we'll talk more about this later, but God doesn't want us to give because He needs it. Does He? He wants us to give because we need it, as we'll see. God doesn't need anything from us. And this is important. I'll actually just talk about it now. So notice 1 Corinthians 16:2 while we're in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 16:2. He says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So notice God wants it to be proportional. As God hath prospered him. Those that have been more prosperous financially, he wants to give more than those who have been less prosperous. As God hath prospered him. As God has provided. But this is what God wants from us. Why? Because he needs it? No. Because he wants us. He wants our heart. He wants us to learn to trust him by faith. When God asked Israel, as we just read, I want you to build a tabernacle. Here's how you build it. Here's the materials for it. Could God have provided those materials miraculously without Israel's help? Well, he provided water out of a rock. He rained down manna from heaven. So obviously he could have provided what was needed to build the tabernacle. But instead he said, I want you, Israel, my children, to provide the materials for the tabernacle. We get to the New Testament. Does God need our offerings to accomplish his work? No. God owns everything. Amen? He wants it because he wants our hearts. Let's look at Psalm 50 and just be reminded tonight that God doesn't need anything from us. God made us. Now, we need so much from him, but he doesn't need anything from us. Psalm 50, verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. God says, I already own everything. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in. God owns everything. Let's look at 1 Chronicles 29. We'll see an example from David's ministry when he was king. Remember, he wasn't allowed to build the temple, but he was allowed to ask the people to bring an offering so that his son could build the temple. Here, 1 Chronicles 29. And just like with what we read with the tabernacle, the people brought too much for the building of, this time, the temple. So the first time was the tabernacle with Moses. Now this is the actual temple under Solomon. And here, look what David, as he is praying, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thy own have we given thee. This is David praying. He says, Lord, basically saying thank you, that the people could willingly give too much for us to build the temple. And Moses thanking the Lord as well. The people gave too much. He said to his elders, tell them to stop. There's too much. We can't use everything they've brought to build the sanctuary. Same thing happened with the temple. But David here acknowledging, Lord, it's all yours. You own everything anyway. We're just giving back to you just a tiny portion of what's you've given to us, but it's all yours. Now let's look at Haggai 2:8, and we'll see it again. Haggai chapter 2, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Two books back from the last one. I didn't do that for you, I did it for me. So Haggai chapter 2, verse 8. Look what he says. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The two things that man measures wealth by on this earth, countries measure their wealth by, silver and gold, God says, it's all mine. I own it all. Who put it there in the ground? God did. He put the gold there. He put the silver there. Yeah, we found it and we mined it and made it into bars and you decided to use it as countries as the base of our currency. But it's God's. It's His gold. It's His silver. It's all God's. So God never is asking us to give. I hope we understand this tonight, because He needs it. It's not about what God needs. It's about what we need. And we need to learn to trust the Lord. And one area is in this area of giving. The good news is God, when He gives us commands to give, He's always very kind to attach a promise to those commands. He doesn't have to. He could just say, give. But He says, give, and guess what I'll do? I'll bless you. Let's see some examples of that. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Most of you know this passage. And so God said to Israel, I want a willing offering, those who have a willing heart. And it says, Proverbs 3, 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. He could have stopped there. Amen? But He didn't. Verse 10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. If you'll honor me, God said, with your substance, if you'll give me the first fruits, you know what I'll do? I'll bless you in return. That's called faith, isn't it? It's called trust. Believing that, yes, if I will do what God's commanded me to do, He will bless me in return. He doesn't have to, but that's how God does things. Look at another one, Proverbs 11, 24. Proverbs 11, verse 24. It says, there is that scattereth, and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. So that word liberal is talking about, again, being generous with what we have. That word fat is not talking about our body. It's talking about our soul. God says, I will bless you if you are liberal with what I've given you. If you will give, I will bless you. And He promises this Old Testament and New Testament. So let's see it in the New Testament now. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Most of you know this by heart. But it's a beautiful truth. And it is a promise from our Lord. It's a command with a promise. Amen? Look what He says. Give. Well, there's the command. Give. He could have just stopped there. Give. But He says, give, Luke 6:38, and it shall be given unto you. Well, that's a blessing. If I give out of a giving heart, God will bless me. But then He goes further and He says, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. If you'll trust me and give, I will bless you more. Isn't that something? That's a promise. And again, that's where the faith comes in. We can believe Luke 6:38 or not. We can say, I believe God keeps His promises. And if I just give out of a loving heart for my Lord, He will, in turn, take care of me. But notice where it comes from. Shall men give into your bosom? Shall men give? And with the same measure that you meet with all, in other words, the more liberal or generous you are, it shall be measured to you again. Does God keep track? That's what it says. So He says to Israel, back to our passage, Exodus 34, I want a willing offering. Verse 21, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up. Now, these are the same people that have already been chastised in Exodus 32 for the golden calf. But they're starting to learn, aren't they? And it says, many of their hearts were stirred up. And it says, and whom His Spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle congregation and for all his service and for the holy garments. Willing. Verse 22, and they came both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted. That word willing shows up over and over again. And they brought all these things unto the Lord. This is what God wants. He wants us to have a willing heart. 2 Corinthians 9, let's turn there, verse 6. He dedicated two chapters in 2 Corinthians, by the way, to this topic, chapter 8 and chapter 9. Chapter 8 and chapter 9 are all about giving. And here in chapter 9, look at verse 6. And this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. We quote that all the time, don't we? God loveth a cheerful giver. But did you see that phrase? According as he purposeth in his heart. That's the willing part. According as he decides, yes, I'm going to trust the Lord with this much. And again, God could have stopped there, but he doesn't. Verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. There's the promise. Over and over. Give, I'll bless you. Give, I will bless you. Promise after promise. New Testament, Old Testament. And it's all about having this willing heart. I love God. He's told me to give. I'm willing to give. I'm going to trust the Lord. It's about faith. It's believing that God can do more with what's left than we can do more with all of it. That's an act of faith. It's exactly backwards of what the world would teach, right? The world says, whatever you do, don't give, because then you have less. God says, give, and you'll have more. That's faith. So back to our passage, it says here, verse 29 of Exodus 35, the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman. So everyone brought these offerings. It says, whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. Chapter 36, verse 3, and they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal, and they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. So this time he used the word free. It means willing. Verse 5, and they spake unto Moses, these are the workers, they said, the people brought too much. They bring much more than enough. We can't use all this gold. We can't use all this silver. We can't use all this brass. We can't use all this purple. There's just too much. We're going to make all these things that God told us to make for the sanctuary, and there's going to be left over. So, Moses, you do with that what you need to do. And Moses said, well, here's a new commandment. Stop giving. Don't hear that one very often, huh? Stop giving, because it says it was sufficient, verse 7, and in those last two words, too much. Same thing happened when they gave for the temple. But it was all about this willingness. The willingness should come from a heart of faith. It did for Israel. It should for us. God, yes, he commands us to give, but he always attaches a promise. And believing that promise is that step of faith. Because let's be real. Most people, it might be invisible, but there's this little cord attached to the wallet, and it runs right up to the heart. That's the reality of it. God doesn't want that cord. God wants it to be out of your life. He wants you to live trusting him. How many things did he say about wealthy people? Jesus, I'm talking. Most of it wasn't good, was it? Usually it was about they lack faith. They're not willing to trust God. He even told the disciples, how hard is it for a rich man to be saved? And the disciples were like, whoa, Lord, that was heavy. And he said, yeah, it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than it is for a rich man to get saved. And they went, what? They couldn't believe he would say such a thing. Can God take a camel to the eye of a needle? Of course he can. But do rich people tend to trust their riches? Yeah. So this is all about trust. And we get this little glimpse of Israel actually doing the right thing. It won't last, but it's a blessing to see that when it came to making the tabernacle, they wanted to give. It was a willing offering. When it comes to New Testament Christian giving, you can argue all day long whether Malachi 3:10 applies to the church or not. It's not an issue. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. If you believe the tithe is not for the church today, that's fine. God wants you to give more than the tithe anyway, because we're in the age of grace. But it needs to be out of the heart. That's where the trust comes in. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, bring you the tithes in the storehouse. And will I not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing? Give and it shall be given unto you. We can go on, couldn't we? Promise after promise attached to give out of a heart of faith, a willing offering. That's what God's after. He's after our heart. God doesn't care about the money. He owns it all anyway. But he definitely wants our heart. So it was a willing offering, which is what he wants from each of us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this precious truth about a willingness to trust you and give. I pray that would be our hearts, Lord. That we wouldn't fear, that we wouldn't question, we would trust. And know that your promises always come true. And Lord, to give out of a willing heart because of our love for you. Back to you a portion of what you've given to us that you already own. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.